Bruchim Haboim, everybody. Parsha Insights, Parsha Smayach. And as we said, Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to try to master, having started Sefer Bereishis, to go through Chamisha Chum Sheter each and every week. And one of the points of when we learn together the Parsha Insights is that it should give us a greater understanding of the Parsha, so that when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, at the Shabbos Suda, over Shabbos, we're able to share the insights. It would be very meaningful to me, I think to all of us, if we could share the insights and let it be mechazik us and review them and tell them over to others on Shabbos. That's one of the many advantages to our Parsha insight. And I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, in the time we spend together, Parshas Nayach, it will help us begin to master Sefer Bereishis. Now we're starting with Parshas Nayach. There are a number of Rashis we're going to learn tonight, so I definitely feel that if you're in the Heichal or listening on the phone, it would be worth your while to follow Rashi. Rashi in the very beginning tells us, Eila told us, Nayach Yishtadik Kamim Haya B'day Raisav, probably one of the most famous Rashis, where Rashi says, the Pasuk tells us that Nayach was a Tzadik, he was righteous in his generation. Is that a praise? Or is that something that's a genai, something that's not a praise? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi tells us there are some who translate the fact that the Pasuk says in his generation as a shevach, as an extraordinary praise. Because if he was righteous in his generation, then he would have certainly been righteous in a generation where there would have been other righteous people, which there weren't in his generation. He would have been even more righteous. However, and this is a key line, I ask the Olam to please follow inside and appreciate the profundity of what we're about to say. V'yesh darshim oisoi, there are those who expound the word v'dayreisod in his generations lignai. It was a depreciation. It was saying something, so to speak, negative, as if to say, he was a generation, a tzaddik according to the generation, the standards of his generation. But if he would have been in the generation of Avraham, then he wouldn't have been considered anything of significance. That's an extremely, extremely famous Rashi. I'll throw out there a very quick question that I'm not going to answer tonight. But if we said when we started this year that one of the points of Parsha Insights is to enhance our Shabbos, that we should be speaking about these inyanim, I'm going to give you a question that you could talk about over Shabbos. Why is it that when Rashi says, if he would have been in the generation of, and it says Avram Avinu, then he wouldn't have been considered anything of significance? First of all, we often don't find that we compare one person to another. But more than that, why does Rashi single out the generation of Avram and not a different generation? In other words, why specifically compare Nayach to the generation of Avram Avinu? We're not going to answer it, but it's certainly, you'll agree, food for thought. You know, Rabbi Isai, when you see a Rashi that tells us, some say in his generation was a big praise, and others say it was ignai, it was meant as a way of saying something not positive. It was expressing that he has had detractors. I want to spend the first few pshatim in tonight's shir explaining this Rashi in a beautiful, positive way. And I hope you appreciate the depth and the profundity of the first pshat that we're saying. It's from none other than the Heilige Shpol Yezeda. Imagine that. Oh, your eyes are lighting up. Not just your braces. The Heilige Shpol Yezeda Zechusa Yagan Aleinu said something extraordinary. And until I prepared for the shir tonight, I did not know this pshat. I always knew that some commentators say, some Mefarshim say it's lignai, some say it's a shevach, and you have to go ahead and learn the different commentaries, the different interpretations. Listen to what the Shpol Yezeda says, and he learns that the ones, according to Rashi, Darshim Oisoi Lignai, who learn it as a depreciation, a gnai of Nayach, they really mean to do it for a positive reason. Did you hear that? How many times have you heard that explanation? We know some say A and some say B. The Shpol Yezeda says that even those who explain it as B really are doing it for A. The they're really doing it for future generations as a praise.
What does that mean?
The Shmuel Yezeda says something so extraordinary. And if you think about it, it explains a lot about human nature. And it gives us an entirely new outlook on how we view people. Noach is the first one that's referred to as a tzaddik, as a righteous person. So the Shmuel Yezeda explains, there's a very methodical reason why there were those Darshim Oysel Ignai that specifically went out of their way, so to speak, to explain Noach B'dayroisav as a Gnai, as a detraction, and not as a positive. Why? These Chachomim saw Beruach HaKadosh with divine inspiration that they're going to be tzaddikim in each and every generation. We know, we live now in this door, every generation has tzaddikim. Choshev, wise, righteous individuals. But unfortunately, throughout time, every generation is going to have tzaddikim that are plagued by detractors. That's a fact. No matter how extraordinary or how great a tzaddik is, and we're of course saying it's wrong, but the fact is, whether it's something that's spurred on and fostered because of envy or because of insecurity, it happens all the time that people, either because they're envious or they have their own insecurity or whatever the reason might be, they will say something negative about a tzaddik. They'll make a negative comment. They'll go ahead and fabricate something to discredit the tzaddik. I bet you as I say these words, you're thinking of examples that we probably could think of in each and every generation are unfortunately people who will be detractors towards the tzaddikim. It happens quite often. In fact, it happened by Moshe Rabbeinu. Was anyone greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? And as nonsensical as it sounds to say it, that was the human nature that there were people, whether as we said it was the envy or the insecurity, that went ahead and became detractors of Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Shmuel Yezeda, listen to this brilliant logic. If the first tzaddik in the entire world would have had no detractors at all, then that would have been the defining criteria to determine for thousands of years who is a tzaddik and who is not a tzaddik. We'd always look at the prototype, the first tzaddik ever, and we would say, oh, the first tzaddik had no detractors. It must be that's the true definition of a tzaddik. But then we would look at the rest, 5,700, who knows how many years, and we would always see tzaddikim that do have detractors, but since that's not fitting the prototype of the first tzaddik, we would be left, isn't that brilliant? We'd be left to wonder, so those with detractors, does that mean they're not real tzaddikim? So therefore, when it came to the very, very first tzaddik in history, in the entire world, Noach, there were some Rabbi Seinu who deliberately went out of their way to create that dim view, that Gennai view of the righteousness of Noach, but they did it for a positive reason. In other words, essentially they did it to do a great service to Klal Yisrael, to teach you that the very first tzaddik was called a tzaddik, although he had detractors. It must be that built into the definition of a tzaddik is somebody who has detractors, somebody about whom people have some type of envy or some type of insecurity. But it does not, I repeat, it does not, it doesn't do a thing to belittle or negate the righteousness of that individual. I find that pshat to be absolutely brilliant. I was never aware of this pshat from the Shmuel Yezeda. But he's explaining that these chachomim deliberately came up with a dim view of Noach, a Gennai, there were deliberately detractors. So now that the first tzaddik in history is one that has detractors, that means built into the definition of a true tzaddik is unfortunately the human nature that our people are going to fabricate things, exaggerate things, make up things, do things that they shouldn't. But that doesn't take away from the tzaddik. That doesn't do anything to chalila belittle or negate the righteousness of the tzaddik. For even Noach, the very first one in history, had detractors, and yet we know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt about Noach. The Torah tells us at the very end of Parshas Bereishis, V'Noach motza chein be'enei Hashem. Noach found chein, grace, in the eyes of Hashem. Nu Rabbeisai, could you get a greater stamp of approval than that? Halavai, if one of you thought, halavai, could you imagine Isaac if about us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, he finds us to be graceful, he finds us to have chein? That first Sabbath had built into the definition of tzidkus, righteousness, detractors, to show that unfortunately throughout history that is human nature, what's going to happen, but it should do nothing and does nothing to detract or belittle from the righteousness of that tzaddik. And you better remember that. And the biggest proof is because the last pasuk in Bereishis says that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach, V'Noach Motza Chein Be'enei Hashem. It certainly gives us an extraordinary appreciation for our tzaddikim, our manhigim, our gedolim, our Einei Ha'eda. Sometimes, unfortunately, we'll hear somebody that has something negative to say, a genai, a depreciation, some type of detractor. Don't you dare, Chalila, allow that to seep in or to do anything to minimize or belittle the way you feel about the righteousness of that Talmud Chacham or that Tzaddik. Because built into the very first one of the world was that genai, specifically to teach us that's the way it's going to be for tzaddikim throughout history. But v'noyach matzachein b'enei Hashem, azezach d'shkol yezeda. Absolutely extraordinary. The next pshat, which also has a positive twist to it, is a pshat that we said a few years ago. Actually, when preparing for tonight's shir, I saw that it's brought down in the name of Reb Yitzchak Mivorka. The Heiliger Reb Yitzchak Mivorka says this following pshat. There are multiple reasons why I love the following pshat, one of which will become quite obvious. We just said when we started the shir that some say Noach was righteous in his generation. It's a praise. Some say he was righteous only in his generation, but in another generation, he wouldn't have been. Take a look at a Rashi. If you're looking inside, I'm asking you to look at Rashi. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Let's learn it together inside. There are multiple Rashis to learn together inside, and I assure you, you'll follow better and enjoy more by looking inside. It says Rashi, Zayin, Zayin. The Pasuk tells us that Noach and his family, they came into the Teva. What are the last three words of the Pasuk, Zayin, Zayin? Mipnei me hamabel. They only entered because of the floods and the waters of the Mabel. Zucht Rashi. Now, seemingly, this Rashi is following the opinion, Liginan, the negative. Let's read Rashi together, Rabbi. So I say it along. Af Noach, Noach as well, Miktane Amona Haya, he was one of those that had very little faith, or little faith, I should say, Mamin, Veino Mamin, very good. He believed, and yet he didn't fully believe, Sheyavai HaMabul, that the Mabul would come, but Nichnas HaTeva, and he didn't enter the Teva until the waters compelled him to do so. I hope you looked at that Rashi inside, because I assure you, I know the verse we're about to say. You'll appreciate it 20-fold if you look at Rashi inside. I'm telling you, look at the words inside. Again, Zuck Rashi, he only entered because he was forced and compelled by the waters. Afnayach miktani amonahaya, he as well was included with those of little faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin, he believed, yet he didn't fully believe that the flood would come. A pshat, that's mamish, pile ployim. If you're willing to put the comma just one word later, look at this, Abayfai. If you're willing to put the comma just one word later, It will change the entire definition of Rashi. And instead of you viewing Noach L'Ginai, you'll view him like the first Chachamim did, L'Shevach, as a praise. What? I could move a comma, just one word, and change the entire definition of Rashi? Look inside. Don't read it as Af Noach Miktane Amona Hoya. Even Noach was from those of little faith. Add the next word together with it. Af Noach Miktane Amona Hoya Maimen. Even Noach, in those that were Kitane Amona, in those that had little faith, Hayamamin, he believed in them. I'm not giving up on you. I believe in you. I'm not giving up on you. And therefore, he didn't believe the flood was going to come because they'll do tshuva. They're too good. And only when the water is forced in, I see from the expression on people's faces, you chop that pshat. Only when the waters forced him in did he then realize it was a reality. All we did was move the comma one word. And it changes the pshat 180 degrees from a negative interpretation to the most awesomely positive interpretation. We'll say it again. Af Noach Miktane Amona Hoya Mamin. Even Noach, to those that were the Kitane Amuna, those of little faith, Hayamamin, he believes in them. I believe in you. You'll do tshuva. I'm sure you will. Ve'enomamin sheyava hamabel. And therefore, he didn't believe the flood would come until he saw that they didn't do tshuva. And only at the last minute, when he was forced and compelled in because of the raging waters, did he go into the teva. But he wasn't willing to leave a yid behind. He wasn't willing to leave anybody behind. Even those Miktane Amuna, until he absolutely had no choice. Is there a bigger praise of a tzaddik than that? You know, there are a lot of people that we sometimes are quick to write off. That one has no Amuna. That one will never amount to anything. That one, and whatever, we're very prejudiced in our judgment. That doesn't make a person a tzaddik. Learn from the first tzaddik in the Torah world. You know what true righteousness is? You believe in everyone, even or especially those Miktane Amona. And he literally would not enter the teva until he had no choice and the water was going to consume him. But until that moment, he said, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you. And he believed in everyone. Nu, is that tzidkus? Is that righteousness? Azei zokt Reb Yitzchok Mevorka. You see, with these pshatim that we said, we're first beginning to understand what true righteousness is. It might be difficult, there might be detractors, but we will continue to believe in everyone. There is a pshat that I've said over many times, but it's such a beautiful, beautiful pshat. We find the psukim tell us that Noach covered over the teva with different materials so that it would seemingly be waterproof. The posuk uses the word v'chafarta. V'chafarta means to cover over. Listen to a beautiful pshat that ties into what we said from Reb Yitzchok Mevorka so wonderfully, that he just didn't give up on anybody. Could you imagine today if we would take the approach that we would believe in people? We wouldn't give up on them? What would they look like and what would we be like? The word v'chafarta means covered over. Did you ever notice sometimes when you want to say something l'gnai, derogatory about a person, you say, oh, he's a koifer. She's a kaifer. What does the word kaifer mean? They deny. In other words, they're no good. It's a derogatory term. He or she is a kaifer. We're very quick to say that word. Abaisa, that's a terrible word to use unless you mean it with the following definition. We just said that covered over is v'chafarta. if you mean to say about a person they're a kaifer, but what you really mean to say is that their beauty, the chafarta, is just covered over, that's an appropriate definition. Because what you really mean to say is, I believe in that person. But the chafarta, their inner beauty, their essence, is currently covered over. But with love and validation and recognition and acknowledgement will help peel it away, until finally you uncover the pintaliyid, the shining essence of who he or she truly is. So if the definition we mean when we point to somebody, the chafarta, is they're no good, shame on us to say that word. But if we mean v'chafarta, kaifer, from the word v'chafarta, covered over, that currently they're going through a difficult time, but what we mean is that it's covered over. But if we help to have emun and believe in them and believe in them and believe in them, and we'll help them peel away that which is covered over until that beautiful essence shines forth, that's a definition of the chafarta and kaifer that it would serve us really, really well to take to heart. I want to tie it together with another pshat that you see in the parasha. If you take a look, it speaks about two of Noach's sons who found him. And the pasuk tells us, take a look at Perek Tes, pasuk Chav Gimel. The pasuk tells us in Tes Chav Gimel that the sons of Noach found him after he drank wine. He became drunk. He had uncovered himself. The next pasuk Chav Beis says that Vayar Chom, Chom saw that his father wasn't clothed, and he went and he told his two brothers. What did his two brothers do? How did they react? Let's learn the pasuk together inside. Vayikach Shem Vayefes. Es ha-simla, Shem and Yefes took the garment and they put it on their shoulders. They walked backwards and they covered their father who was undressed. And they didn't see their father in that condition. All I did was read to you the pasuk. Can we take a look at Rashi together? Rashi says, again, Teschov Gimel. That's why I said how important it is tonight to learn the Rashis inside together with me. The pasuk says, Vayikach. Now, Vayikach is singular, but if there are two sons, Shem and Yefes, shouldn't it say Vayikchu, which is plural? Rabbeisa, you hear the kasha? It should say Vayikchu, plural, not Vayikach, singular. Zachrashi, Limeid al Shem, is teaching us he took, is a reference to only one of the two. He, Shem. Shenis ames ba mitzvah, he exerted himself more in the mitzvah. He exerted more effort to fulfill the mitzvah to honor his father, yoiser mi yefes, more than yefes. And therefore, when it says vayikach, he took and not they took, who's it referring to took? He, Shem, very good, extraordinary, and not yefes, because he exerted himself far more than his brother. Lekach zochu bonov. And that's why Shem's descendants merited the commandment and the mitzvah of tzitzis. The great Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, says, how do you explain Rashi? Rashi says that since Shem exerted himself more than Yefes to honor Noach, that's why he received the mitzvah of talis and tzitzis we just said. And Yefes earned burial for his children. Now, what do you mean he exerted himself more than Yefes? What exactly did he do to merit that much greater of a reward than Yefes? What does it mean that he exerted himself more? Rav Shor says, you have to understand these words, Nesamet v'mitzvah yaser, quite well. Because if you think about covering somebody with a blanket, which is what they did, what do you mean the expression, someone exerted more effort than the brother? Covering a person with a blanket doesn't necessarily require extra exertion more than somebody else. The physical act of covering, they both did identically. That must mean that the only area of difference between the two was in the panemius, in the internal, in the intent. Zochrem Gedalia Shores, the Chetzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it means when Rashi says that Shane performed the mitzvah with more exertion, it doesn't mean in a physical sense, because physically they both covered their father with a blanket, but in the panemius, in their understanding, in the sentiment of all of the consequences of what we're doing, what we're about to accomplish, in that panemius, not an external manifestation, physically the act was the same, but in the panemius, the internal manifestation, the sentiment and the understanding, the intent, Shane put in more than Yefes. And that's why he merited the mitzvah of tzitzis, because tzitzis is clothing that covers our panemius. It covers internally our panemius. What a meiridik of art. Zachter Gedalia Shor Yefes performed the mitzvah, but he performed it for the superficial reason. And what was the superficial reason? The proper thing is to cover my father in this state and not to see him unclothed. So because he did it for the reason of a proper covering, he merited measure for measure that what did his children merit? Kura, proper burial. You see, each one, says Rav Gedalia Shor, merited a reward measure for measure to what they did. Yefes, who had only the external comprehension and understanding, he's performing it for superficial reasons, that we should cover up our father. Oh, covering up your father, albeit it's a wonderful thing, so your children are going to merit covering. Which covering? Klura, burial. But Shame exerted himself more, as Rashi says, Nesameitz b'mitzvah yoiser. He did more, not in the physical manifestation, but in the panemius, in the understanding and the sentiment of why it's the right thing, why it should be done, the intention of why I'm doing it. Oh, the panemius? You're going to merit tzitzis, which covers up the person's panemius. I thought, besides how beautiful and extraordinary that Dvar Torah is, it once again focuses on a person's panemius. As did the Vart of Koifer v'Chafarta look at the panemius, as did the explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak Mivorka that we have to realize Noach believed even in those who had little faith. As we said, the Vart from the Shpol Yezeda, the importance of looking at a person's panemius, the intent, the understanding, the ramifications and the consequences. I want to conclude with a pshat that we've said a number of times before. I almost feel that it's impossible to give a shir and have parsha insights on Parshas Noach without mentioning this pshat. It would almost be a crime. It's something we mentioned in the past, but I think it's a beautiful way to end our parsha insights into Parshas Noach. It has to do with the dimensions of the Teva. The Teva was 300 amos long, 50 amos wide, 30 amos high, and at the top there was a 1 amah window or gem to create light. Why did the dimensions of the Teva have to specifically be 300 by 50 by 30 by 1? And if it would have been 290 by 60 by 40 by 2, it wouldn't have served the same purpose. Why did it have to be specifically 300 long, 50 wide, 30 high, and an amah on the top? Svarim bring down a very, very powerful pshat. I'll give you the Tamsis Hadover before we conclude. The Svarim tell us that there is evil in the world, unfortunately. But where does the evil stem from? Where's the root and the shayrish of the evil? From two sources primarily. One we read about in last week's Parsha, Parsha's Bereshis, the Nachash. And the other, we know they're different angels, but there's one angel whose name we don't pronounce. The angel of, some people refer to it as the angel of Sam. The angel, the name is spelled Samach Mem. And then, of course, the two letters of Hashem's name, Aleph Lamed, which Kel is the name found in every angel. But that name of that angel of the evil or of the destruction, we don't mention the full name, is also the source of evil. However, in both those that I just mentioned, they're not entirely evil. Chazal tell us by the Nachash, it's based on a pasuk in Tanakh, that the evil, so to speak, from the Nachash stems from the letter Ches in the middle of the name. Not from the Nun, nor the Shin, but only from the Ches. When it comes to the angel, we know the Aleph and Lamed is certainly not a part of the equation. That's Hashem's name. So obviously then the evil stems from the letters Samach and Mem. Rabbi said, if you look at an amazing thing, that means I just told you that all the evil comes from the angel, from the letter of the Samach and the Mem. From the Nachash, it comes from the middle letter, which is Ches. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of the Parsha, the world was filled with corruption. Vatimale ha'aretz chamas. How do you spell the word chamas? Ches, mem, samach. Oh, the ches from the Nachash. The mem and the samach from the angel. All three letters, when they come together, that's the root of evil. That's mamish, the root of evil. Those three letters, the ches from the middle of Nachash, and the samach and mem from the angel. And that's the way to read the pasuk in the beginning of the parsha when it says, Vatimale ha'aretz chamas, that the earth became filled with robbery, with a type of corruption. Why? Because the ches, the mem, and the samach are precisely the letters of evil. But Rabbi Isai, what are the remaining letters that are pure goodness? What are the remaining letters that are pure inherent goodness? From the Nachash, the good letters, are the Nun and the Shin. From the angel, the letters of pure goodness would be the Aleph and the Lamed. The Nun is Begematria 50. The Shin is Begematria 300. The Lamed is Begematria 30. And the Aleph is the Gematria 1. The dimensions of the table specifically have to be 300 by 50 by 30 by 1, because those are the four remaining letters of pure goodness, pure panemius, 100% goodness. As we said from the Nachash, when you remove the evil of the Ches, what's left? The Shin, which is 300 for the length. The Nun, which is 50 for the width. And what's left from the angel? The Lamed, which is 30 for the height, and the Aleph, which is the one Amma on top. So you see, Rabbi Yisai, no other dimensions for the Teva would suffice. It had to specifically be 300 by 50 by 30 by 1, because that's where all of the goodness, all of the Pnimius, all of the purity stems from. I hope Ezra Hashem, as we made this journey through Parsha Insights, into Parshas Noach, that at the very least will focus on our pnimius and the pnimius, the inherent goodness of others. And together we should be zeicha to bring out the pure, pure goodness within ourselves and within so many others.